Moncrief on News Talk.
To solve all your problems, Barbara and Declan join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Hello, you're both there. That's good to know. Or are you? We don't know. Right, here's your first question. I've been seeing my girlfriend for 4 months. We met online and since lockdown have been in each other's bubbles outside of work. She stayed over for the first time 3 weeks ago, which was lovely. I really like her. However, the next morning I noticed this brown stuff all over my sheets and pillows and she very shyly apologised for her fake tan. I said not to worry. I washed the sheets, but it didn't come out. So I binned them and bought new ones. Last week she stayed over and the exact same thing happened. I was pissed off this time as that's another set of box seats ruined. I'm not that up on things girlies but I had no idea she wore fake tan. I thought that was her colouring. I've never stayed at hers and I can't help but wonder what state her bedsheet must be in. It is unfair to ask her not to wear tan when staying in mine. I'm not going to tell her not to use this stuff, but I can't keep buying new sheets and I can hardly lay down a plastic sheet every time she stays. I've never been in this situation before. Right, so Barbara, I don't know if you've had this experience, but you know, like it can look like a crime scene if they've been wearing fake tan in the bed.
Yes, I have had this experience, all right, being the mother of daughters, but thankfully we have passed that stage now. But I honestly think this is the best letter we've had in ages. just love it. I love his bafflement about the things that girls do and also his love of clean, fresh or bed linen, which is great. You know, I hate fake tan. I think fake tan is an awful abomination. But anyway, look at, she likes it and he likes his clean bed sheets. My first suggestion is, as this is a relatively new situation, new relationship, you don't want to put the kibosh on it. He likes her. So my first suggestion is that perhaps he thinks of going out and buying some darker coloured bed linen, you know, rather than white. You know, I don't know what his colour scheme is, etc. But, you know, if he could buy some navy bed sheets or something.
Brown sheets.
No, navy. Navy, Sean, or, you know, dark colours. Red, dark pink, something like that. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is with bed linen, I mean, if you put it in at the highest temperature that, you know, that the care instructions tell you and you put in some stain remover, that should work. If you like your stuff pristine white, soaking it in a solution with some bleach, you know, making sure maybe use the bath, making sure that that the whole sheet is covered should also remove it. You know, like it does come out. So he's obviously just not washing it right. I mean, talking about making her sleep on a plastic sheet's probably a stretch too far, but he could make her sleep on a towel. But I have a feeling that as this relationship progresses, she may abandon her need to have fake tan all over. She may become more comfortable with herself and therefore can't use the fake tan.
Yeah, actually Danielle on Twitter says the same thing. What fake tan doesn't wash out? She must be coating herself in a thick layer of Sally Hansen.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's not fake tan, but I mean, yeah, exactly.
Oh no, oh, God, please stop.
Oh, God.
Now, that's what I was wondering as well, because, you know, I had a chat with Rob Carney about how he handles his fake tan scenario in the bed. And, you know, I believe that it does wash out really easily. So I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he doesn't need us. He needs to go on to Good Housekeeping to find out what brand of cider vinegar actually takes it out of his very expensive sheets. I think it's kind of fun, though, that he's so bewildered, as Barbara said, about the whole process. But I think that's maybe the way to handle it, because if that's the kind of person he is, then he should just kind of leverage that and talk to her about it. You know, I never considered, you know, that you did wear fake tan. And now I've been thinking about how long it must take to put the stuff on and you know, how does it come off? And how do you get it out of your clothes? And for example, your very expensive bed sheets, and maybe make it her explain what she does and then make it her problem.
Because she did acknowledge it the first time. She did say, oh, look, your sheets are covered in brown stuff, which would embarrass most people.
Yeah, maybe it's just makeup, though. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, makeup does get into clothes. And if you've been on a date and you're out with somebody and you put the makeup on and you haven't done your full makeup removal, as I believe has to happen when people put on makeup, I wouldn't know very much about that. Then in that scenario, you do end up getting makeup all over things that you didn't intend to. So as Barbara also did say, I think once you get into a rhythm of a relationship, they both work out what they're comfortable with and how they can handle the stains.
One thing though, he didn't seem to notice it beforehand that she was like, you know, there was a thick coating of fake tan. He doesn't actually know what she looks like.
Yeah.
In fairness, fake tan is just a shade different from your own skin colour if it's put on right. I mean, I'm assuming the only people I ever see with really rubbish fake tan is, you know, when my kids were in secondary school, it used to be hilarious on a Monday morning or a Friday going in to watch them going into school, you know, all with hands that were a different colour from the rest of them. So, you know, I would imagine it's not a botch job. I'd say it's pretty okay fake tan that she's doing herself, you know, which is why I'm such a surprise to him.
If she's sorry to interrupt, Barbara, but also if she's young and she's only experimenting and learning how to do it as well and all that stuff, that, you know, it's all part of the process. I wonder whether or not she is going out on the night when she's applied it for the first time. So therefore, it's actually in its kind of in its early
stages. It hasn't developed.
Yeah. And,
it hasn't set yet.
Yeah. Or also the fact that, you know, it's just that the sweating is what's making it come off in the first place. So once they cool their jets on their amorous stuff, they won't be sweating so much inside the sheets. So it'll all right itself.
Okay, all right. Catherine on Twitter also says, fake tan can be usually removed. She just said, this is like a screenshot from something. Fake tan can usually be removed from bedding. Try washing your cotton sheets in a 60 degree wash or as hot a wash as the care label allows if the stain persists. Soak harder to shift stains on white cotton bedding in a pre-wash stain removal solution before washing is known. God, it sounds more, it's not worth the hassle for the sex, really.
Sex could be great.
Yeah, let's hope so. Speaking of, here's question number two. I'm having sex dreams about a co-worker. I'm a happily married woman working in the medical profession. I totally fancy the arse of a doctor I work with. He's also married and our relationship is totally professional, but lately I keep having sexual dreams about him. I have the most amazing erotic dreams involving him. Then I wake up to discover it's not real and I'm so disappointed. I'm facing him in work every day and totally cringing inside when I speak to him, knowing that the night before I was having randy dreams involving him. He's gorgeous looking and we get on well, but it's always professional and I've no reason to think he fancies me. I'm obviously not going to act on it, even though I totally wish I could. Any advice? Is it normal? Is it a phase? Should I just shag him and get it out of my system? Brackets joke. Yeah, right. Declan?
I think it was Sigmund Freud who said that a woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets. Actually, no, that was the old lady from Titanic. But
right,
anyway,
okay.
The idea still kind of works. is that, you know, our thoughts and our fantasies are, you know, down in the deep there where nobody gets to see them. And that's probably for the best. But then sometimes when they kind of float to the top, we can kind of put on a whole different kind of spin on it than what they actually mean. So she's having these thoughts. I think my old parish priest would have called them impure thoughts about somebody who's not her husband. So while it might be a sin, I don't think it's a crime. Unless you've got the thing that Tom Cruise had in Minority Report, where you can work out into the future that she might actually act on it. So she's joked about the fact that she wants to act out on it, but she's only joking. Ha ha ha. Now, as long as that is seriously just a joke, we're just dealing with our fantasies. And I think that when it comes to fantasies, I think fantasies are bizarre things that can sometimes make us kind of almost freak us out by how left field they are. But what they really kind of serve is to allow our brains to explore possibilities that we may or may not ever enact on in the real world. So, you know, so they're serving a purpose there and they're all happening inside her head, which as long as they stay there, that's all very good for her relationship. Which gets to the point. I mean, what's actually happening in her own relationship? I think that's where the whole thing can kind of be fixed. I wonder whether or not she's kind of focusing too much on the good-looking doctor and not enough on what the good-looking doctor is kind of doing to her in her dreams. Mm. And maybe that's the kind of place where she needs to focus.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Should she like get the old fake tan on and say to her husband, I want you to do this?
Yeah. Oh, look at, you know, I love this letter. And I mean, you know, I a bit like what Declan was saying. Declan has kind of focused on the fantasy thing, which I think is different. I think our subconscious minds and our dream world is really powerful. You know, and I think if you have an erotic dream about somebody that you were only vaguely aware that you fancied, it's going to increase that whole attraction by, you know, a millionfold the next day because you've had this amazing erotic dream. Well, except for the fact that I had an erotic dream once about Alan Sugar, which left me traumatized for about a week afterwards and deeply ashamed. Wow,
you did say that on radio, you know that.
I know, yeah. It was, I don't know what happened. But anyway, but you know the way, if you have a row at night, say, about your other half, you know, at a big row, and you wake up and you actually want to thump them because you're still angry with them over something that they didn't do and something that, that they weren't involved in at all. It was purely your dreams. So I think that your dreams are really powerful. And I think I don't know what she wants us to say to us. She's having these erotic dreams. My problem is I think she's really enjoying them. Mm. And I think that's fine. But it is going to give her a problem if she doesn't get hold of herself literally fairly quickly. Because your mind, even your subconscious mind, I think, but your certainly your conscious mind is like a muscle that can be controlled. And I think she does need to kind of dial it down a bit. So in other words, if she does, you can't control what you're going to dream about. But I think you can control during your waking hours how many times you revisit the dream and all the detail that was probably in the dream, which now is bobbing back up into her mind as soon as she sees Dr. Gorgeous doing his rounds or whatever. And I think that's the bit she needs to kind of act on and go, you know, get out of my mind. Mm. I'm not dealing. I'm not going there unless you want your life to become, you know, a big drama and probably a big disaster. You need to stop revisiting. You can't stop the dreams, but you can stop revisiting them during the day and replaying them, which is what I think she possibly is doing. And that's it. You know, I mean, you have to make a determined effort to do that if you want to not kind of move into the realm of maybe wondering whether you could possibly make this happen in real life. And then all your life is going to go up into a big explosion. And that would be terrible, you know?
A lot of people actually are agreeing with you. Nothing wrong with the dream, but her attitude when awake is definitely a problem. Yeah. Relationship is over. It's just a matter of time. that's what you get for sending in a question.
I don't know about that at all, Tom, though, because I think while she is in work with this guy, he's there. He's the hot looking guy at work distracting her from the mundanities of her job. That's fine, as Barbara said, as long as there's a sort of a separation between her fantasy in her brain, her dreams, and her actions when she's at work. It's, you know, she's never going to not be able to say in her mind, that's the guy I had the dirty dream about. That's just never, she can't make that go away. Mm. You know, no amount of like wistful thinking will make that unhappen.
Yeah. Could COVID be a factor here that, you know, everyone's a bit bored and Dr. McDreamy is mincing around the place at work?
But everybody has fantasies.
Yeah. And I don't agree with you, Declan. I think her problem is the fact that she's revisiting the dream in detail when she's looking at him, and that's causing her to even fancy him more. And I think that's the bit you do control. That's the bit where you can actually say to your mind, stop broadcasting this, stop replaying this. I don't want to engage with it. It takes a lot of effort, but I think you can do it. And I think that's what she should do.
Yeah, and Frankie has a bit of advice. She says, tell her to keep the doctor in her head, best place for him. I shagged my vet. Then he got back.
Is she a cat?
I don't know. I shagged my vet. Then he got back with his ex and married her. Sometimes thoughts are better in our heads. Lol, says Frankie.
Oh, dear.
I live in an apartment on the ground floor. And while the apartment block itself is quiet, my new neighbours right above me are a herd of elephants. They seem to stomp instead of walk, shout instead of talk normally, and slam all the doors, which are fire doors, so they give it extra welly. I have heard more about their work issues, their lockdown issues and her yeast infection than I've heard from my own family in the last week. And yes, I can also hear them having sex. Awful, exaggerated, and what can only be fake sex. I can't imagine. Yeah, of course it's fake. I can't imagine what it would be like to share a wall with them. I don't like confrontation. In fact, I actively avoid it. I don't know what I'll be met with if I ask them to keep it down, as they seem like such a fiery pair. I'm considering going straight to building management and letting them address it. Once they don't know it's me, that's it. I could slip an anonymous note underneath their door, but what if I'm caught? I can't have this be my living situation, though. It's mentally taking a toll on me.
Mm. look, I mean, I have some sympathy for this, Roger, but my first reaction and my questions are, Like, what the hell are the floors of this apartment building made of that he can hear all of this in such detail? I mean, even if the family above are loud, he's able to make out full conversations. And I mean, I'm absolutely fascinated by exaggerated sex noises, because I want to know more about that. Like, I don't know what an exaggerated sex noise is.
Nobody has sex that noisy. Or for that long.
Or that fake.
But like, why would they be doing it? I don't know. Unless they're doing it for his delectation. Anyway, look. In fairness to the noisy, supposedly neighbours above, I mean, I get the impression that this writer likes a very quiet life and would like to keep it that way. And I think he maybe should consider moving out of an apartment and into a cottage in the country. Although then he'd be hearing donkeys braying and cock-a-doodle-doos going off, and he'd probably think they were exaggerated animal noises. Anyway, urban living is sharing the space. And you have, there needs to be a level of tolerance involved here. And I just think he's become so focused on this now that it's become this huge, big thing in his life. And you said earlier, Sean, about maybe, you know, lockdown and COVID and all the rest of it. And I think perhaps while we are locked down, that these kind of small, what would have previously perhaps been small irritants, now become these huge, big things. I would kind of be urging him not to do anything, because I can't see any way that this is going to end well. I would kind of try to say to him if he could, you know, just maybe try to ignore it, distract himself, turn up his TV, play some music, try not to focus on it so much, or otherwise he's going to drive himself around the twist. If it really is a problem, then I think probably the building company or whatever it is he said he was, the management company, it might be the way to go, but I wouldn't do anything like that unless it was absolutely a huge, big problem.
Yeah,
Declan? And I'm not sure that it is.
Yeah, and like as Barbara said, when people are living in on top of themselves, as they do in more urban areas than they would in the leafy suburbs where Barbara lives, the problem is that you can hear things, and that's part of the price of living, you know, in a inverted commas convenient urban place, is that you are up and on top of each other. If you live in an apartment block, you do have people, you know, living above you and below you, and sometimes you can be oblivious to the noises that you make that annoy them, and they can be oblivious to the noises that they make that annoy you. Letting each other know about these annoyances isn't necessarily going to make anybody's life better. It might, for a short time, stop, you know, somebody from having fake sex or whatever they're doing. But I don't think it's gonna resolve this person's just general annoyance, which, as Barbara pointed out, I think it is because they're done with the urban, the in on top of each other stuff that's been definitely exacerbated by having to work in the same place where you're living, and you're there all the time. All of the noises become, you know, over familiar and irritating. Hopefully, you know, that's going to end soon for everybody. But in the meantime, I think it is a case of just having to put up with it, unless it gets to the point where you can't.
One person suggests change your Wi-Fi name to "We Can Hear You Shagging." That's something they will say on their phones. Just strikes me as well, though, because given that this person said that it was, you know, unrealistic, so I wonder, have they witnessed like film equipment coming in and out of the apartment at all upstairs? That might be a factor.
Oh my God!
In the amount of
essential services during the lockdown.
Yes. Somebody's texted in to
as
say,
as long as he was wearing a mask, yeah, it's okay.
Oh, that's probably, well, that's a whole genre of film, isn't it? Somebody texted in to say, I had a dream about a shag with Boris Johnson. Very unsettling. Oh,
oh
my gosh. Yeah, and somebody on Twitter wants to know, Barbara, did Lord Sugar say, you're fired, ooh, matron?
Oh, God. I know. Oh, I can't believe I actually admitted that. It was a long time
Neither
ago.
Can I.
I wasn't well. And,
and Mag says about the fake tan, forget about the sheets. My son's girlfriend lives with us. We are now the proud owners of an orange-tinged loo seat. Wow. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much for listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.